to the Gospel of John. John chapter 15. We'll read the first 17 verses. John chapter 15. And here we hear Jesus speaking, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another.
Thanks, Lord, for a blessing on his word as we consider it this morning. Our Heavenly Father, your word is truth. And we know that Jesus has prayed that we would be sanctified by your truth. And so we pray that you would use your word through the working of your Spirit this morning to further cultivate that fruit that brings glory to your name. So use your word as we hear it, as we believe it, as we live it, and as we trust it to follow you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we listen to God's word this morning, we come to the conclusion of the I am statements that Jesus has been giving through the Gospel of John. Remember what we've looked at as we've tried to listen to God's word and to learn who Jesus is. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I am the door. I'm the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now this morning, I am the true vine. Throughout these I am statements, there's a series of truths that Jesus highlights and brings to the fore for us to understand who he is and what he has done. And implicit in these is his relationship with the Father and what is going to be our relationship with the Father. Also, the reflection that these are explanations of his love, and these truths are to direct us to see his love and to know his love for us. In fact, even in today's text and in the scripture reading, Jesus wants us to understand his love for us. Verse 12 reminds us, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." His love and our awareness of who he is and what he has done is going to work out and be reflected in our life with one another. This is a comparison. This is a familiarity with Jesus that runs right to the heart of your existence, of my existence, of our existence as a congregation, but also of Jesus' life and Jesus' work. In fact, he reveals to us the greatness of his love, and there is no greater love than he lays down his life for his friends, which we are. He is the one who is the I am. I am all of these things, so that you would know me, so that you would know who you are, and you would turn to me, and that you would trust me. So this morning, we look at Jesus as the true vine. Here is what God wanted to see from his people. Here's what God wants us to see from Jesus. What does it mean to be united to Jesus? What does it mean to bear his fruit? And what does it mean to be the fruit of this true vine? We're going to look at that in three different ways this morning, three different considerations. First of all, we're going to listen to what Jesus says about the source of the fruit. Where does it come from? Secondly, the taste of the fruit. What is its characteristics? What are we going to savor in the fruit? And thirdly, the certainty of the fruit. So the source, the taste, and the certainty of fruit. First of all, the source. Where does this fruit come from? Now, it's really important that we understand the necessity, the absolute necessity that Jesus is teaching us about the need for fruit. We need to know where this fruit comes from. It's the difference between life and death. If you aren't producing fruit, you're going to come under God's judgment. You're going to be cast aside and burned. But I'd like us to think for a moment about this image that Jesus uses with regard to the pruning of the Father. Think about the Father's pruning. He sees before him a vine. And there's different branches on this vine. One branch produces fruit, another doesn't. Both of them would have leaves. It doesn't say that one is dead. It says, no, they're both living in the vine. One is producing leaves, but no fruit. Another produces leaves, but then eventually it will have fruit. And now pruning season comes. What does the Father do? What does the Father do? Well, he cuts both branches, doesn't he? He cuts both branches. Externally, it appears to be the same activity. One branch, he cuts it off and he throws it into the fire. The other one, he cuts back, but he leaves a little bit there so that it can continue and produce fruit. What makes the difference? What makes the difference is the Father's awareness of the different activity that he's engaged in, and the reality of the source of the fruit, that one branch is ultimately going to produce fruit, and so he cuts it back, painful though that may be, so that it would bear more fruit. You see, the Father knows what branch is going to be productive and what branch is not going to be productive. And he prunes accordingly. You see, behind this is the question of the Christian life. What makes the difference? What makes the difference between a life that pleases the Father, a life that the Father is going to trim back so it becomes more productive, and a life that receives judgment? And what makes the difference is the source of the fruit. It's one's connection to the true vine. Does your life, does your obedience, does your fruit in the Christian life flow from, arise out of, your connection by faith to Christ, to the one who is the true vine? And notice what Jesus is saying. It's not the formal connection. It's not the connection that Israel had as the people of God. It's not that they could boast in their heritage, because those two were in the vine, but they needed to be cut off because they were not producing fruit. And there's a repeated idea that comes through this section. If I were to ask you, what was one of the phrases that was repeated again and again and again and again? It's this idea, what Jesus says: abide in me. 10 times he says it in these few verses. 10 times he says, be assured, you need to recognize, you must abide in me. You need to be connected with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. You can't produce fruit in any other way. Verse 4, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Unless you look to Jesus and know him to be the source and the substance of your fruit. Jesus says it in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How important it is for us to understand the source of fruit. Have you ever had it in the life that you try to change your habits, but it doesn't take long and the old self crops up again, and your habits really haven't changed? You go through a season of life where you're doing really well, but then all of a sudden your endeavor flags and you go back to your old habits. Because you've been looking to yourself, because you've been relying upon yourself, you've been hoping that with a little bit more self-discipline, with a little bit more encouragement, with a little bit more self-correction, you can accomplish it. But Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. What does it mean then to abide in Jesus? What does it mean to be connected to Jesus? What does it mean to live in him? Well, Jesus says it a variety of different ways. He says it in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. That we know the word of God. We feed on the word of God. We're strengthened by the word of God. We know what the will of God is and we commit ourselves to this. Jesus says, if already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. To abide in Jesus means you need to know his word. You need to trust his word. You need to follow his word. You need to have your compass in life directed by his word. A word that reveals to us our constant need of Christ to follow in him. What does it mean to abide in Jesus? It means we have his word. It means we have his love, that his love abides in us, that we know that he loves us. Verse 9 reminds us of this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, abide in my love. How important this is when you feel the secatars of the Father's pruning. And it hurts. And you think it would be so much more productive in your life if you didn't have to experience this sort of suffering. But Jesus says, trust me. Trust me. This is the Father's love. That the Father's love is for you to understand more richly how I, as the source of fruit, can produce more fruit in your life. Hebrews 12. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but in the end it produces a harvest of righteousness. Why? Because that's what it means to abide in the love of Jesus. To trust that for Jesus' sake, the Father loves us. And this pruning, though it may be painful, has a purpose and has a design to show you again and again the work of Jesus Christ. Or verse 16. Verse 16, Jesus fills out this idea of what it means to abide in him. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So it shows us that we have a calling from God. He's chosen us. He's called us to himself. And I have appointed you. Christ has a purpose for you. Christ has a design for you. And I've appointed you that you should go. He sends us. He sends us into our homes. He sends us into our communities. He sends us into church. He sends us into every aspect of our life and every aspect of our existence. And he says, there, I want you to show everyone around you the love that you know comes from me. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. You should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. That it will continue, that it will flourish, and that it will grow. We're appointed to prove the flavor and the savor of discipleship. The pursuit of the Father's glory, verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples, that when you're squeezed, the juices that run out are an awareness of who the Father is and of his great love for you. So that when we abide in Jesus with heart, soul, mind, and strength, we listen, we love, we learn, and we live for him. But not only for him, but we live with him. And the astounding teaching of the source of this fruit is that the reality is it's not just our contribution. Oh no, that's to go back to that pattern of thinking, well, I have to do this. But Jesus says, don't you realize that when you live with me, when you live for me, when you live by me, I abide with you. I am in you. I'm the one who's producing this fruit. That's God's design in sitting this morning and listening to his word and being guided in the Christian life to coming to this true vine, to understand apart from him, we can do nothing. We'll never bear that fruit. But in him, so confident is he in the Father's design, in his accomplishment, and in the Spirit's application that he says, you will bear fruit. Well, Let's go on then. Secondly, if that's what's going to happen, what is the taste of this fruit? What is the savor? What is the flavor? What are we going to enjoy? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Jesus begins, as we see, the need of fruit. And this is something that he's declaring about the covenant community, about Israel, about the church, about you and me. Jesus, as we go through the Gospel of John, has already addressed Judas Iscariot. He said to him, what you have to go and do quickly. Jesus is aware that there are some who are engrafted into him that are not productive. He's well aware of the plots of the Jews that are in the background at this time, and they're plotting to kill him and to destroy him. Jesus knows well that not everyone believes in him. And his word comes as a warning to those who presume or who think that just by external appearances that they can maintain a relationship with him. And he warns the church, he warns us this morning, be aware. If this fruit isn't found in you, you need to consider your connection with the vine. Those who should be producing fruit when they become unproductive need to be cut off. They will come under judgment. But what makes the difference? What makes the difference? It's the flavor of the fruit. Consider these qualities. The first fruit, or the first flavor implied in this fruit of Jesus' teaching of what it means to show his work is the fruit of faith, repentance, and belief. Remember, Jesus or God sent John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, calling Israel to repent and believe because the kingdom of God was at hand. This is what Jesus had been teaching all along, that with this repentance and faith, there is the presence of the rule of the king. This is why he appeals for obedience as the way of showing his presence in your life. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. You see, to know God, to have a relationship with the Father, is to be producing obedience. And where there isn't, there needs to be repentance and faith. So it's not enough to be sour grapes on the vine and just say, oh, well, I don't have the fruit. Woe is me. Is to step up and say, I'm so wrong. I repent, and I need the work of Christ in my life to produce fruit. Repentance and faith. Another flavor or another taste of this fruit is going to be prayer. Two times Jesus says it, that we can ask. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Or again, verse 16. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So that, here's the purpose, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, what do we make of this? The fruit of prayer. Our lives are be flavorful with prayer. He's already said this in chapter 14. We looked at this last week. That we belong to him, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, and we can ask him anything. Or we come to verse 7 here in chapter 15, and Jesus says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. What does that mean? Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Is that an absolute guarantee that no matter what I want, if I claim it in faith, it's going to be mine. If I name it and claim it. What is this? What is this that Jesus is saying here? The danger of that is it separates the fruit from the vine. It says you can expect something different. You can ask what you want, and you can have it. So let's say, for instance, if you want if you would wish that grapes taste like chili peppers, if you ask for that, you can have it. But you see, that takes us completely out of context, and it makes it an absolute guarantee and says, well, whatever you want, if it's in your heart and you want it bad enough, you can have it. No, that's not what Jesus is teaching. What do you want? What do you want as the fruit and as the flavor of the work of Jesus Christ? What do you want? You want what Jesus wants. What does Jesus want? We've heard it again and again and again. He wants the Father to be glorified. He wants the Father to be known. He wants the Father to be exalted. He wants his disciples to be productive of the Father's glory. Ask the Father in my name whatever it takes for you to glorify the Father. And if it takes suffering, if it takes blessing, if it takes strengthening, if it takes pruning, I'll do it. I'll do it. What did Jesus want? Jesus wished for. What was on his wish list? The Father be glorified, and you to know the Father. And the Father granted him that wish. And how will that wish be shown? Well, it'll be shown in the community of the saints, love one another. When you're willing to sacrifice your well-being for the sake of the Father's glory, that's going to be another flavor. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for what the Father wants. We're going to pray like Christ. And we're going to pursue what Christ wants. Love one another. Again, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you would learn to show in all of your activities, in all of your actions, in all of your expressions, a willingness to lay down your life for the production of fruit in one another. And so we need to follow God's law. We need to obey God's law about loving one another because you're so committed to showing Christ. And then you will begin to gain the flavor, and the flavor of the vine will be borne out in the fruit. You know, it's interesting in moving to the Hawke's Bay, you hear in a different way people comment on the wines, and there's gimblet gravels and all this kind of stuff, and the sort of the soil that comes through and enhances the flavor of the wine flows from the roots through the vine out into the fruits of the grapes. Isn't that a beautiful illustration of what it means to be connected with Christ? Why will you love one another? Because you know how deeply Jesus has loved you. That will just ooze out, and the aroma and the flavor and the savor of his fruit in your life will be shown. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So there will be obedience and love for one another. Last thing, of the flavor of this fruit, there's going to be faith and repentance. There's going to be prayer. There's going to be love for one another. The last flavor is there's going to be joy. Joy. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. A joy that is reliant upon listening to Jesus. A joy that is reliant upon loving Jesus. A joy that is focused on bearing the fruit from the source. A Christ-likeness in obedience. Who is Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the shame of the cross. A joy that doesn't desire to protect one's standing, but a joy that displays the Father's glory and Christ-like love and Christ-like sacrifice and joyful dependence in prayer and faithful living. That these are all savoring the joy of fellowship with Christ. So there's the source of the fruit. There's the taste of the fruit. Lastly, and dare I say it, almost most difficultly, there's the certainty of fruit. How can we be sure? How can we be sure that there will really be fruit? Well, it arises from God's sovereign operation. What Jesus has said, you didn't choose me. You don't adopt this lifestyle. It's been chosen for you. I have chosen you. I am the one who has been given to you by the Father. I am the one who shows you the sovereign operation of God. He has chosen and he's secured the life of the elect. It's because of who you are as God's elect. And the Father prunes. He prunes through discipline. But again, it's that wonderful and glorious identity. The certainty of the fruit is because you're friends. You know the Master's will. You know his design. And it is good. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. You know everything there is to know from God. In the Old Testament, there was this anticipation. They needed to know more. They needed to have it expressed more clearly. Now we have it in all of its fullness in the New Testament. In the glory of the revelation and the application of the Holy Spirit. And the certainty of the fruit will come as you abide in Christ by faith. And now, the question that we need to conclude with this morning, and the question that you need to examine yourself with under God's word, in light of your relationship with Christ, is what is the output of your life? Is there fruit? Are you abiding in Christ and showing more of him in daily living? Be careful though with this question about the output of your life. Because the key for your accomplishment, the key for gauging the output, is the input. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, what happened with Israel is they boasted in their position, but they forgot their source. The focus when you gauge the output of your life is to be on the vine that produces the fruit. Do you know Christ? Do you trust Christ? Is your life about what Christ is about? How will you see that? Faith, repentance, prayer, obedience, and joy. And if that isn't there, go back to the source. Consider the vine. And here's the wonder of Psalm 80. It comes out again in Isaiah 2, what Israel could never produce, what you can never produce on your own. Jesus says, I do it for you, and I give it to you. Trust me. Show me. And be aware of the certainty of that production. And so that's what we need to trust, what we need to be about as a church. You know, we prioritize things. Well, here is the key priority. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things. May he be the focus and get the glory and be the display of his people. He is the vine and we are the branches. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we see from Israel's history how frequently they departed from following you and how easy it is when we rely on ourselves, when we boast in our position and neglect your Christ, your grace, your gospel, your word, how estranged we can be from you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that our consideration of our lives may be a reflection on the source of our life. Where does it come from? It does not come from ourselves. It does not come from our community, not even the communion of the saints. It comes from Christ. Help us to appreciate the source. Help us to show the flavor of his work. And help us to trust the certainty of what you will do. Heavenly Father, help us to focus on this one who is the great I am, who has come to us to show us your glory. So help us to know and to show Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.